baby, can't you see? Justice is calling, a premise like you should have a warning. It's dangerous, my client's falling. There's no escape, you're gonna pay. The complaint is fine,
you're not gonna make.
The premise dangerous, not loving it.
What the?
Welcome to another episode of the Justice Team Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Simon. I'm sorry.
Today's topic is tools for young lawyers. We're going to talk about things you need to learn about transitioning from law school to practice, or, you know, if you're a young attorney trying to make a move from a big firm to your own firm. So first, as always, let's get started with the drinks, the cocktails, the Chrissy Teigen to my LL Cool J, Mr. Bob Simon Jr.
I'm giving him the gangster pour. Can you hear that?
Oh, that sounds good. Wow.
You're going to split that with me, right?
No, we split parents, but that's about it. So what I did here for everybody here on the new... oh, yeah, is that good, Brandon? So this is...
Yeah. Very good.
So I selected...
It's turning creepy.
I selected here a single barrel from Jack Daniel's, which we brewed ourselves. It's the Justice
we didn't
Team.
We brew it ourselves.
Well, whatever.
We selected the barrel.
And it's a very pure. So I think in order to really do what we do and be a consumer advocate, you have to be a purebred, a very pure alcohol. So this is nothing but pure whiskey. Some have a little ice, but, you know, it's a very pure. It's very pure.
I hated every moment of that.
It's like we're,
I hated that.
It's like we're breeding.
That's why I got my shepherds over here.
Neat.
All right, so we're going to go around the room and do some introductions. We have our special guest for this episode. Jess, if you want to introduce yourself, tell us a little about yourself, what you do, what your firm is. And
yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. I'm Jessica Pride from the Pride Law Firm in San Diego. We do sexual assault litigation, anything from things in the employment arena to the personal injury arena. We take care of it and hold perpetrators accountable.
All right. So how long have you been in practice now?
Oh, good Lord. You're not supposed to ask a lady how old she is.
Oh. You could have started law school when you were like 15. Nobody
jerk.
Right? God, I think I went to law school in 2000.
Okay.
Oh, no. God, a really long time ago. I graduated in 2006.
Okay.
So I've been in practice.
Face rookie field.
Fine.
Yeah. I'm so old.
So everyone, go around and say hi. Grayson, say hi.
Hi.
That's it. Just say hi.
Grayson, hi.
Okay.
Hi.
So, Sevi?
Hi.
Tom?
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm the Tom here that's 100% fare-free. I'm the fare-free alternative at the firm.
And Sienna?
Hello.
So, it's our panel for young lawyers. We're going to talk about some things that hopefully you should have learned as a young lawyer, or if you are a young lawyer, we got some tips for you. Tom Conroy is going to get on his soapbox today and yell about stuff that all of his... lackeys don't do for him and what you should be doing instead, right?
I got great lackeys. Are you kidding me? I got wonderful lackeys.
Yeah. You need a dictionary for anything Tom says.
So we actually had a lot of question viewers. This is probably the most responses we got to any of our podcasts that we put out there. If you have any questions for us, our email is media@justiceteam.com. Hopefully by the time this is edited, there'll be a nice little thing down here that says media@justiceteam.com if you can't spell it. So one of the most popular questions we got is what do they not teach in law school, or what do they not prepare you for?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So what are the things that you're seeing as, you know, you're hiring young attorneys, Jessica? We have young attorneys at our firm, people that transition from law clerks to attorneys. What do they not teach you? What do they not prepare you for? That you would like to tell young attorneys or young law students, hey, this is what you need to be ready for that you're not being ready, prepared for.
Good Lord. I feel like there's so much. One of the biggest things is work ethic, right? I think that a lot of
can
new lawyers...
Can you teach work ethic?
God, I think they should. but, you know, that it's a grind. And law school does give you a little bit of that, but realizing that you got to put in your time and... Nobody gets to leave at 5 o'clock and you have to work a weekend. And so that expectation that your law firm's about to own you for the next 5 years until you've made your mark. I think the other thing is writing. a lot of law students, some of them can write, but they don't know how to write a motion or an opt MSJ or do it in a way. I mean, they make them write an appellate brief or something like that, but having better writing skills, because that's really what you're doing so much of the time when you're a baby lawyer, I think.
Tom?
I just met Jessica a few moments ago. Hit every single word on the head. I couldn't agree more. The first word that popped into my head was grind. It's the thing they don't really teach you. It's all, you know, you're learning in law school and you feel like you're coming up and you're advancing and gaining competencies. Out beyond the wall, it is a dark and cold world and with it's an unending, unyielding grind with no end in sight. And there's not going to be the high fives and hugs from the people that you work for most of the time. Celebrating you with a pat on the head and a cookie for a good job done.
So Tom, tell us.
The reward is you get to come back tomorrow and do it again. And if you find yourself in a place that has a pat on the head and a cookie at the end of a good job done, you should count yourself.
So tell us a little bit about your background, right? Because you've been doing this for longer than we have, even though you look like you're a 15-year-old boy.
Why would you comment on my disability?
Can you zoom in on that mustache?
Why would you do that?
We're all friends here.
That's my disability. What are you doing?
Tell us a little bit about your background, because you weren't always doing plaintiff's work and you weren't always living the dream life, right? Tell us a little bit about what your perspective and how you're equipped to talk about this sort of thing.
I went to law school on the other side of the country, moved here with no connections, no nothing, and took the first job I was offered. And as the stars and the cosmos would have it, I landed with a very, very experienced, competent trial lawyer doing insurance defense work. And he was this old, tough guy from Queens, and he beat the living shit out of me.
Watch the language. That's your 1S. That's
okay. I get two more?
Yeah, okay.
But the point being, there were times I wanted to quit. There were times I wanted to walk away from it and just do something else. But it was those hard yards and those difficult days. I came out the other side 7 years later, having found a mentor on the insurance defense side. And like I said, no pats on the head, no hugs, no high fives. But I consider him now probably my North Star in terms of what I do. And even now as a plaintiff's lawyer, I ask myself what I do it the same way as him. And I count him as a friend. We just went to a Dodger game the other night. He's a buddy now. But I did that for about 7 years in the insurance defense side, worked a private firm for a while. And now in my 10th or 12th or 11th year of practice over here on the plaintiff side. But it's all hard work. As Jessica said, it's all a grind, and it's tough. And you got to be prepared to have it be tough.
So you brought up a good word that I was going to bring this question up later, but mentor. So the rest of you, I'll throw it up to the panel here. Sienna, I know you had a mentor. Tell us the importance of having a mentor, especially right out of law school, whether it's your boss or whomever, and how do you find a mentor?
Well, I wanted to
tell us about your background also, because you weren't always here. You weren't always doing plaintiff civil litigation. Tell us your perspective.
So I was a prosecutor for almost 9 years, and literally my first week at a training, they threw me into trial. They're like, oh, go pick a jury in like 10 minutes. I'm like, wait, what?
Where were you a prosecutor?
In LA County.
And what were you doing?
My last couple years I was in Compton trying murders, but this was in Glendale trying a petty theft, and I was like, what? I'm picking a jury now? It was crazy. So in terms of mentoring, my parents were both, blue collar, didn't go to college. So I met this guy in college who was a president of the board of trustees, and he was a lawyer, and he's like, you're great at this. You should really follow it. So now I mentor a lot of people, and I think it's just, I'll be at speaking engagements. Someone will come up, I'll give them my card, I'm like, really follow up. I'll meet them for lunch, dinner, email, whatever, coffee. A lot of women gravitate towards me because they don't see a lot of female trial lawyers. But I was going to say a little tip from law school is your reputation starts in law school. It doesn't start when you're sworn in as an attorney. So if you're a jerk to your classmates, you're not cooperative, you're not helpful, people will remember that. So always be kind, and especially clerks, they can make or break your career starting off.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to end up being colleagues with or even working at the same firm with.
Yes.
I wasn't even friends with these two goobers in law school. Yeah, I was, but... So Grace and Sevi, both...
Oh, sorry, I was going to say...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And also Brad was my mentor in law school, and as luck would have it, 12 years later, I'm working for him.
So. Did he have the same smell back then?
it's a musk.
It's evolved over the years,
it's
like a fine wine.
It's devolved. Yeah. All right. So throw it over to you two. Oh, sorry, off-putting face from Sevi. What did they not teach in law school that you wish they would have taught you? And also, mentors, did you guys have them? How did you find them? How important are they?
You know, I think at least for me, what I wish they would have taught me in law school is just to be yourself as an attorney. And you don't have to be anybody else, because we all look to like Panish, or we'll look at Bob Simon and we'll say, oh, we got to do this or we got to do that. Just be yourself and go in there and you know, prosecute your case like you know you can, and you don't have to be anybody else. I think a lot of people, in terms of having a mentor, fall into it. You know, like Sienna, you know, working for the DA or working for the PD. I know the DA and the PD really try to set you up with somebody that's going to be a mentor. But if you're outside of that, there's a lot of other resources, like CALA's got a mentorship program, CAOC, CASD have mentorship.
OCTLA has a mentorship program.
OCTLA too. So get involved with those groups early on, and you'll get a good mentor that, you know, you can really learn from.
And I don't think you need to necessarily go to an organized mentor-mentee program. I have a crew that we put together, I don't know, God, now it's like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We have a whole lady tribe. Once a month, we have dinner at each other's houses. And it was made up of women that I was inspired by, as well as younger women that I looked back and I was like, I need to give them a hand up. And there's 22 of us in the crew and all plaintiffs' lawyers across San Diego. And it's amazing because we break bread and we talk about things from, you know, how do I deal with that older partner who's hitting on me and I don't know how to kind of, you know, sidestep out the way, to I've got this case. Can you guys help me out, or ladies help me out? Tell me what you think I should be doing or shouldn't be doing. I think it's amazing to have people inspire you to have a tribe to just talk about the daily grind, because it is a grind. No matter whether you're a new lawyer or you're an old lawyer, you're constantly find yourselves having those moments where if you don't have that support system, I don't think it's harder to be successful. So I would say find some friends who are in the same industry as you and working at, you know, competitor firms, and collaborate, because there's enough for us all to go around. Everybody can be successful. I don't think we need to be competitive like that. So I think you should help each other. One of our friends, my friend Teresa Bowen, is part of our crew. She started that whole thing, Trial by Woman. So I think part of that inspiration came from our crew.
Awesome. I was going to add, kind of the two questions you asked kind of go hand in hand. Go watch Trials. A lot of people, you know, as a law student...
you were watching Trials in law school.
Yeah, right? And that's because, you know, your brother... When I met Bob for the first time, I was in law school, and he said, you know... I remember him sending me an email saying, you know, Brown Green was in a trial against the city of San Diego for a palm tree falling on a guy that made him in a wheelchair, paralyzed, you know. He had an I think his foot was even amputated, but the guy was pretty crushed. And I remember watching Brown Green, and I was just like, you know, and this was... you know, in his latter part of his prime, but he was, you know, I just remember going, wow, this guy's incredible. And so that's how I kind of, you know, developed that. And then I watched, you know, I watched Brian Panish do one. I even watched John Gomez, because we went to law school in San Diego, and John Gomez did a cool presentation. And then from that, I think you can find mentors. So go watch a trial. And then, you know, they love to talk to people in the crowd at breaks. You know, go talk.
Yeah, how was that opening? What did you?
Right. What do you guys think? Like, people who aren't lawyers, they love, you know, the feedback. So from that, you can find mentors. Always good to have mentors in your own firm, but I think it's imperative that you have mentors outside your firm. Somebody you can go to. Maybe, you know, you've seen the same style in your firm so much, it's good to go to other great lawyers outside of your firm who maybe have a different style. Maybe you, you know, resonate with them on a different level, or, you know, just something different. So I think it's important that you have mentors both inside your firm and outside.
Jess brought up a good point of a group, right? Finding a group. A lot of young attorneys are, if they go out on their own, they're just them. Good. How do you find a group of people? You know, do you find friends that do it, or listservs are great, but you don't get that kind of in-person contact. Is it important, and how do you do it? Finding a group of people that you can break bread with. I like that term, a tribe, so to speak.
I think that go out. You have to get involved. You have to put yourself out there. And so go to OCTLA or CASD or CALA's events, and you'll start seeing the same faces again and again. Like, our crew's not that big. The PI world's pretty small, and you'll start seeing all the other new lawyers. And go say hi to them and be like, hey, you want to get a drink? We all like to drink. So, or get coffee if you're trying to be, you know, little PC. But make friends, and soon enough, you'll know you might just form your own tribe.
guess we could just interject that, like, for young lawyers, they assume it's all about the grades and getting the best grades, and they don't socialize, and you really need a network, because I knew top five people in my class that didn't get jobs at a law school because they couldn't interview well, whereas I was all in the middle, you know, and I was killing the interviews. It was hard for me to get through the door, but when I got through the door, I got the interview and I got the job. So I feel like socialize more, focus on the networking in law school as opposed to just getting your nose in the books.
I totally agree with that. I never ask when I hire anybody what your grade is in law school.
No one cares.
I really don't care. I care, like, do you have it or you don't?
Chug this beer.
Can you beat me in an arm wrestling contest? Arm wrestle me.
Right? I was social chair in law school, and then I got a clerkship with Tom Girardi because, you know, it was through connections. It wasn't because I sent in a resume.
Tom challenged somebody to a foot race recently.
Did he?
True story. I challenged the defense counsel to a foot race to settle it because we're having problems communicating. So I said, let's just do a feat of strength. You pick your number. I'll pick my number. You pick your fastest guy. I'll race him. And then the winner, we're beholden to that number. And he goes, since that's the settlement demand, I have to report it. I said, please do.
What is this, Festivus? Yeah.
The good thing about Tom is I don't know if he's joking. I don't know.
No, I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's not.
Shelby, one of our associates here, is in the room. She can vouch for it. I challenge this dude, or his champion, to a foot race.
So one of the other viewer questions we got was, what are the skills that you should learn going into practice? Like, and how do I get those skills if my law school is not offering them?
I would say there are two skills outside of the toolbox. Jessica mentioned one: writing. Got to be able to write. In your first position, you're going to be asked to do all kinds of motions, letters, discovery. Got to be able to write. And if you don't think you're a strong writer, find a way to be a good writer. That's for the toolbox. But there's two skills on top of that I got to mention.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
I got the worst grade in my legal writing class.
I believe
Grayson
it.
Was in my class.
Yeah.
I liken it to Michael Jordan when he got cut from his varsity basketball team. Because I'm a good writer, and I feel like I give a lot of people my writing, and it pissed me off. But I learned how to write that way. Yeah. And the way I did it was Brad literally gave me no help, my brother. Yeah. I think it was like an ex parte motion, and I was a first-year attorney. He goes, you're writing this motion. Figure it out.
Let me jump back in.
Is that Anastasia
Bowles? Now I'm done.
Was that Anastasia Bowles?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough.
I got the worst grade in that class.
Well, you're not a good writer, so he was right there.
The two skills you have to have coming in. Number one is task management. You have to have that. If you struggle with that, find a way to learn how to organize yourself. Find what works for you. If it's just writing ideas on a piece of paper and carrying that piece of paper around with you, track it. Because everything else you're going to learn, nuance, how to frame an argument, how to be a lawyer, you're going to learn it. You're going to learn how to take a deposition and learn how to try a case. But task management from day one, you have to have that with you. The second one is the real one, is the figuring it out. Figuring it out is where the separation occurs between people who are going to be average, okay, good, great lawyers. Those that can figure it out are the ones that will get far. And the it is all of it. how to write motions, how to do this, how to do that, big things, small things. As an associate, as a first year, as a second year, it's going to be your job to take some assignment, big or small, and not go back to the lawyer who assigned it with an answer, oh, I couldn't figure it out, I couldn't do it. Thanks for the opportunity, but I just kind of gave up.
You should just quit at that point.
Yeah.
Well, here's
figuring it out is where the separation occurs.
I think the problem that probably a lot of young lawyers have is they'll go to a big firm and they don't get the opportunities to, say, take a deposition or take an expert deposition. I know attorneys that have worked for good, big plaintiffs firms, and they just don't get the opportunities. So, you know, and anyone can jump in at any point. I'm not directing it toward. I just gravitate towards Tom because he's a fair-haired beauty over here. I just can't help but gravitate. But anyone can jump in and answer the question at any time. How do you learn those skills if you're not given the opportunity at your job? You know.
Well, I think this kind of goes to the grind we were talking about earlier. You're not just going to work every day from 9 to 6 or whatever. You're going out with your friends. You're going out with your mentors. You're doing extra work on the side. You're reading books on the law, on how to take depositions, you know, how to frame arguments, how to go to trial. And I think it just goes into that. You know, you really got to grind in and out of work if you want to be a successful attorney.
And just a lot of the same skills you need for life are the same skills you need to be a good attorney. Can you go out into a social setting and talk to a bunch of people? And do they like you? Check.
You're self-checking that one. Let me open that one up to the.
The jury's still out with me. I'm not sure if I like that.
I mean, come
when
on.
My first impression of Sevi in law school, before I actually met him, he wore white loafers. You had white loafers and a white belt.
Yeah, so
and,
that's not disqualifying.
A polo that was up to here.
Not
and he would sit in front of the class and answer every question. So
you were the gunner?
Always up front.
The gunner. Grayson sat in the back with hair down to here.
And guess
what was her first impression
and
of
me? Was amdring every class.
Guess who the first person Brandon recommended to his brother's law firm too was? So what does that say? Gunner. What does that say about you?
You were a good golfer. You were a ringer.
That's true.
I always tell my new associates when there are if I have a mentee that's in law school, I say play a game. Go to a social event and you can't leave till you get 5 business cards. Go around, force yourself to meet somebody, ask them for your card, for their card, you give them yours, and you forces them to learn the skill. And I was like, exactly. And I was like, and if you're need some liquid courage, grab a drink. Just don't get sloppy because people will remember those people as well.
Yeah. I would say also what helps in proactivity. You're going to get assigned things, but if you want to gain competencies, keep asking, hey, can I take that deposition? It's the second or third or fourth cop on the traffic collision report. Let me get that one. Let me try that. Be proactive. Walk into somebody's office one day and said, hey, I got this case. I worked up some discovery. Do you want to look at it? Maybe it's your first time doing that kind of thing. But that's how you gain competencies. You have to gain them.
And there's certain things in law school you can do to get that as well. Even you say, if your law school doesn't offer that, well, all law schools offer the opportunity for you to go have a job outside of law school while you're in law school.
Yep.
And you can get certified as a law clerk to do things that lawyers can do under their supervision. I worked at the public defender's office in the felony division, and they would do just a bunch of sentencing, and I just kept begging my boss, who I worked for. I said, I'm certified now, I'm signed off, let's do this. I just kept begging her to let me do sentencing arguments, begging. And then she let me do sentencing argument, and then pretty much I was doing a sentencing argument every single day.
We told
there.
You before, Sevi, you got to change the loafers, and we'll let you do it.
I know. I did sentencing argument in white loafers, a white belt.
And that guy's in prison right now.
And he got 25 to life.
He got 25 to life.
The other thing you can do is deposition. Well, the beginning of deposition. So I'll let my certified law clerks do the admonitions and start the, lay the foundation, just do the kind of basic
That's
questions.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, get comfortable being
exactly. Just kind of practice. And usually the defense lawyer on the other side's really amenable to that.
I like
just
that.
Say, hey, I'm training. Will you let him or her do that?
Another good thing Sevi was just doing this the other day is we at our firm now there's capabilities of doing virtual depositions where you can watch Bob take an expert depo or Tom Fair take an expert depo. And Sevi watched from his computer and while he was working, watched one of these guys take a depo. So if you're a young attorney, and you have partners that are great that are taking expert depots, see if that's an option. You can just watch. It's a great it's to be able to watch somebody do an expert deposition. It's a skill that takes a long time to hone and figure out. And it's a great opportunity if you can do that.
And just so the record straight, I wasn't watching to learn. One of our
no one was concerned, my friend.
Yeah,
you're in a boat.
Don't worry. Yeah, you're good. So I'm going to break this up a little bit. We have a ton more.
He's red.
We have a ton more question it's viewers, but I'm going to break this up a little bit. And we're going to play The Feud. So Jess, if you're not,
do you know that my mom was actually on The Feud twice?
No. Bull. S H I T.
I swear.
Twice.
On my kid.
So she won. And
no, she lost twice.
Did she play the fast money round?
I know. You know what? I'll have to show. I should give you, send you the footage.
Common thread. We got another game show participant back here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He was not smarter than a fifth grader.
Well, he was. He was pretty smart, but.
Not as smart as a fifth grader, clearly. He's here.
Well.
And but I heard he started the firm because he was smart.
And Tom Conroy was on a commercial for Carl's Jr. Thick Burgers.
That's right.
So.
I just paid $14 for a Hardee's Thick Burger.
If you Google Financial Wizard and Hardee's Thick Burger, you'll probably see Tom Conroy and our CFO, Murata Behan, chowing down on some $14 for a Hardee's Thick Burger.
They're pretty good, yeah.
So, we're going to play The Feud, all right? We got two teams here.
Jess, you can...
Fat right. Booty?
No, Death by Booty.
Yeah. Death by, oh.
Did you say Fat so Booty?
Or Prideful Booty on this side.
Yeah. Prideful Booty. There you there go.
We've actually got two trial teams on the couches here. We got the fish goodies over here and the death booties
over here.
We got
the fish goodies.
And death by booty.
It's like good fish. Good fish.
Good fish. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, we call team... Tom Conroy and Travis Davis, who was our Law and Motion department, they call themselves Team Death Metal. They do a lot of wrongful death cases, and they're into heavy metal. That's about it, right?
One of us is, sure. Yeah.
Who it is, we can leave to the viewers.
Let's leave it ambiguous. Okay.
Ambiguous like Tom's androgynous features.
Again. Come on.
Mustache. He
don't
has
put
a mustache.
My disability on the air. What are you doing? I'm protected by the ADA.
All right. Is that an ADA protection?
Yes. Protected class.
It is.
What accommodation are you required?
I'm given by the ADA protection for making fun of my mustache.
It's constitutional law.
Yeah.
All right. Top five answers. I'm going to have six answers. Sorry for yelling. I assume that can be edited later. I have eight answers on the board.
Wow. Okay.
You know how the feud is played? Number one answer... Highest answer, you get to play, pass or play. I don't need to explain it to you. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Al Borland, right? The best host of... That's not even his real name, is it?
No, that's the actor Richard Karn.
I like Al. I like Al Borland better.
That's why he's here.
It is better.
You know,
but Steve Harvey's the better one.
You win. You win. That's it. That's the feud.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to start with our special guest. If you guess the number one answer, you can pass or play. The other team has an opportunity to get a higher answer if you don't.
Okay. I don't have to ring the buzzer.
Your mom was on the feud. You know how.
Right. She lost twice and got an electric blanket. It's not looking up.
Electric blanket got something.
Awesome. Sounds like a product slide.
Yeah, we are way off.
I hope you're giving out electric blankets
so,
today.
So, top eight answers on the board, and this will kind of dovetail into some other topics, is most common mistakes that young lawyers make.
They don't know what they don't know.
It's a little too broad.
I mean, right? That is very. Okay. That's
I'll
a little broad.
A chance to get a little.
It's
more
broad
specific.
And it's rather rumsfeld.
It's like Conroy saying they have to have it. You know,
It's rather rumsfeldian too. There are known unknowns and there are unknown.
Okay,
unknowns.
Okay, take it easy there.
What's the biggest? God, they don't site check.
Ooh, that's maybe a good answer, but it's not on here, and that's because I didn't think about it.
I think I got the number one. Okay, you want
to
come to me?
No, that's she's on your team, so we're gonna.
Did you say
on teams? Sorry, we were supposed to consult.
Biggest mistakes.
Biggest mistakes. Most common mistakes that young lawyers make. You can confer.
Yeah, I like this. They buzz the idea.
How about they're too aggressive
or fighting everything?
Yes. Yeah. Number one answer on the board: treating opposing counsel like an enemy combatant.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just LA.
So, and we'll use each of these answers as a little bit of a jumping off point. I think a lot of people, attorneys, see opposing counsel and they see an enemy. Right? What's the philosophy that you guys use in practice? You were a defense attorney.
Yes.
Well, you know,
narc.
I think what they're describing is a young lawyer, a new lawyer, who confuses aggression or acidity or venom for zealous advocacy. You can be a zealous advocate.
Hold on, take one of those words at a time. Venom.
Please define.
You can be a zealous advocate without being a total jerk face.
Yeah.
Basically.
And perfect answer.
Yeah, and honestly, with
verbatim number one answer
with defense counsel who is reporting up the chain about you, about your client, about your case. You need this person to think of you positively. You don't want to create a situation where they too are being put into a corner where they've got to hoist the battle flag and go to battle because you're so combative. Because they'll do that. You need this person.
Very true.
So you know me, Mr. Young Attorney. Here's my perspective. I got to throw my weight around. I got to show that I mean business. Sienna, you're shaking your head. How does that? Not a good idea.
You get more with sugar than with spice. You know what I mean? Like, just be nice, be professional. You don't have to be a jerk about it. If they want to poke the bear will come out.
Ooh.
But you don't need to start. Mm. There.
Let's not bring the bear into
and
this.
And a lot of people mistake kindness for weakness, but
it
it's not.
Breaks through the wall.
So just maintain your professionalism. Keep her cool. You'll show you're mature about it. A lot of young lawyers are very emotionally reactive and think that they have to, like, have a chip on their shoulder or something. So just keep it cool.
And you know how you get there, Brandon, without being an aggressive jerk face? Competency and preparation. You know your case cold. You know it inside and out. You are prepared for whatever, a deposition, appearance, whatever. You are prepared. You got every answer covered. And you show this guy your serious business with a smile on your face.
And you have a backup plan to the backup plan.
Yep.
Right? I think so. Preparation, preparation, preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and just on that same, along that same topic, when you write an email to somebody, just know that you are going to see them face to face at some point.
Yeah. Unless you're me.
You cannot hide behind your computer.
Some people can.
Don't be an internet tough guy.
Sevy's
like
going to see you at the deposition, Mr. Attorney. I'm sending my redheaded.
Next time you write that aggressive email, to just take 10 seconds.
You know
and
what? You just
delete.
Bought yourself a face to face with Mr. Tom Fair. Good luck.
There's a really good practice that I. You know, did a lot in my first three years of practice.
Oh, yeah, he cleaned some clothes.
And I still currently do occasionally. Write an email out, read it a few hundred times.
It's called neuroses.
No, when you're mad or
he's
something.
He's like, that's brilliant.
I got a neuropsych he could speak to.
Delete it.
Yeah.
Write it again.
I guess what, when you delete it from the server, Brad can still see it.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the feud. The commercials are over. You guys won, so you guys get to pass or play.
We'd like to play.
You like to play? All right.
If
you
don't. Top 10 mistakes they make.
Top 8. So we got 7 more answers on the board. Most common mistakes young lawyers make. Most of these are general. One might be more specific to personal injury.
Sure.
I need an answer in 3 seconds or I'm going to ask you.
Okay. How about winging it without preparation?
No.
Lack of preparation?
It's too general. It's too general. We need specific answers. All right, back to Pride Booty. What was the?
Prideful Booty?
Prideful Booty.
Prideful Booty.
That's there we go.
Death by
Prideful Booty. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. Death by Prideful Booty.
So yeah. Sienna's last
We're
name
really
is Sienna Coyota Boutte. We're not just coming up with booty for the sake of it. So
we say, yeah.
Kim Kardashian. Okay.
Sienna, I need an answer.
Lack of timing. They don't prepare for like.
They said preparation. I'll give you a pass.
What? Oh, they turned down assignments.
No,
that's too broad.
Get out of here. That's the number one thing.
Too general.
You go to a guy and say, "Hey, guy, I need you to do this thing." He goes, "No, I don't feel comfortable."
Or he's like, "I can't figure it out. Yeah. I looked and I couldn't find the answer."
Hey, I can find a way for you to have no assignments.
All right, I'll give this side over here one chance, and then I'm gonna start naming answers because
we suck.
Yeah, lack of preparation.
That's what we said.
No, I'm saying you guys lacked. You guys.
Oh, I thought you were telling me an answer.
No. Oh.
Common mistakes.
We didn't make them. That's why we don't know them.
Gosh, exactly.
Yeah, who's the source on this?
Getting
this?
Too drunk at social events. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Being too sloppy.
How about being too sloppy? Over promising to your client.
Mm. Ooh, that's actually a pretty good one.
Right?
That's a good one.
What do you do at mediation? You tell your client what you're going to get.
No, you lie to him all the time.
No, you always undersell it.
Undersell.
But we don't undersell, overperform.
Here at the justice team, we don't let new lawyers talk to clients.
See, that's the problem. Who's compiling this list?
I'm just kidding.
What? New lawyers are compiling this list. How about reinventing the wheel and not using your resources?
What on earth are you talking about?
That's a really good tip because most of the time, especially at a big firm like yours, or I used to work at Girardi Keyes or Casey Gary, I mean, there's so many. The document bank is huge. So don't create a new one. And if you're at a smaller firm, the thing I always tell people too is one, you could ask people on the listserv, but if you're not on the listserv, is go on the court doc filings and you can do like a Westlaw search and look for the type of motion you're looking for and then do a keyword search to find the specific fact pattern.
That's Travis.
And then you can mimic somebody else who's done it.
That's pretty cheap.
Is the next one doing things on your own?
That was kind of the answer for that one.
Okay. Okay.
What about giving your client, this was my biggest mistake as a young attorney, giving clients your cell phone. No comments on that one?
I don't know. I still do it. It's just convenient.
I have two phones for that.
How about
so
depends
one's
on
for
wow.
them and one's for me.
That's what we need.
Depends on the client.
Well, how do you know?
Brandon, I consider my clients friends.
You have no friends. How about not communicating with your experts?
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, a lot of times.
Why is the associate talking to the expert?
Exactly.
Well, not the associate, like new lawyer. I guess like the new lawyer, like I just feel like that's a little bit expert level. So.
Yeah, right.
I think this is definitely the Richard Karn feud and not the Steve Harvey feud.
Where'd you get these answers?
Yeah,
I would call it the Louis Anderson feud.
Yeah, this sounds like the Louis Anderson feud. Is it Richard Karn? I might be thinking of somebody else.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. In any event, continue with your flawed Great analysis.
I think that's it. Refusal to compromise. Refusing Stubborn. To meet and confer, yeah. not compromising on anything. No?
Well, I mean, I suppose you're giving the new lawyer, if we're talking about from the manager's perspective.
These new lawyers have a lot of authority.
A lot of authority right. and perspective, mm-hmm. yeah.
So like when you're meeting, conferring on, say, medical bills or some sort of evidence coming in at trial, people are just taking a hard line stance, not seeing how giving something up can give you
Well, that goes with like what you were talking about yeah. a second ago about needing to interact with the opposition and not be the stonewall.
Yeah, they need to agree with the pebbly meds.
So they go handed. Mm-hmm. That's another one. Inflating medical bills for no good reason, thinking that just because there's high medical bills and
yeah, that's
you're going to get a there's a direct correlation to the result of the case.
Right.
Sounds to me like these new lawyers need good mentors, yep. someone mm-hmm. to show them the way yeah. so they wouldn't make these mistakes.
I feel this list is in need of mentorship.
And since she, yeah,
it's a lot of work to host a game show without writers. Okay.
Yeah, that's tough.
So we got some more. We got a lot more. Viewer questions.
Oh, good Lord. I'm going to need more whiskey. Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Thank you.
That's why he's here.
I didn't have lunch.
Barman.
Drinking my calories today.
The liquid diet is so good.
It's so good. I really think it's like helping me for summer.
Very sweet.
So here's a question. Actually, there was a name tied to it. A lot of these questions we got from Instagram, or they weren't, for whatever reason, we couldn't get their names, but some people actually emailed us their answers. How do you, as a young attorney working for a firm, bring in your own cases aside from those that are assigned to you? And Connor Mulvaney actually asked that question, so I'll give him a shout out. Any young attorneys, how do you bring in your own cases other than just, you know, getting the cases that are assigned to you and having to work up cases you don't really have any personal tie to?
So we've talked about this in other answers a little bit, but something that Sienna said is, you know, being nice to people in law school comes back to you. That's not really an active way while you're currently working. It's just sort of something you hope will happen because of, you know, the way you treated people. Another way is just to go out to these events that we're talking about and, you know, finding mentors, things like that. You also find other people that are similarly situated as you are, and other people, if you work for if you're a solo practice, other people may be solo practice. They may want to, you know, team up with you, or if you work for a firm that's established and you're an associate and you're just trying to bring in cases to, you know, sort of help the business, then, you know, you might offer to team up with more resources, things like that. But a bunch of stuff you can do by getting yourself out there.
Yeah, I think in general, just, yeah, exactly, put yourself out there. And if you are going to be a solo, don't just have a solo office in a solo place. Be with a bunch of other attorneys in a big group. Mm. You know, work in a firm where there's a lot of people, because sometimes those cases will kind of filter down to you. You know, for example, there are some cases that we as a firm won't take, and we give it to some solos here and there. And, you know, as long as they're there, they're going to get these types of cases. Another small thing for brand new attorneys that I just saw from Nas here at the office is she took all of her business cards, and everybody that she had an address for that she knew, whether it was family or friends that she knew, she mailed them a business card with a personal handwritten note. So if something comes up, boom, that's the first person that they're going to call or refer somebody to.
Dead on, Grayson. Good point.
I think that's really important, too. I know a friend whose sole practice is funded by cases from big firms. So I would say make friends with associates in large firms, because in most large firms, the associates will take the intake calls. And my firm and other firms, you won't take a case under a certain dollar value because it doesn't make economic sense. And so I'm always looking for, and I know Casey Gary and all these firms are always looking for little guys, little solos who want to take those cases that nobody wants. And when you're starting off, it's a great way to, one, learn, great way to make a name, because you're probably going to have to try it if it's a crap, I mean, case. But add a couple $50,000 cases up together, and next thing you know, like, you got a good payday if you have low overhead. So I would say make friends with your friends that are associates at big firms and just keep saying, hey, if you got a case, give it to me.
Yeah, don't work for... You know, don't when you're a solo practitioner as a young attorney, maybe don't go to a Regis suite where nobody does what you do and be by yourself. Go to a group floor where everyone does what you do, and they might be a little bit more experienced and not have, you know, $100,000 case to them might not be worth much. But they say, hey, Mr. Young Attorney, here, you know, cut your teeth, and this might be worth more to you. And that's, you can get a lot of cases that way.
Well, and if you're eager, you can turn a dog case sometimes into, like, a beautiful little pony.
Brandon, turn the mic off. Turn the mic.
Brandon and I used to split an office when we first started, and it was very small. It was me, him, and a copier. We scanned all of our mail and put together. We'd be high-fiving on $15,000 settlements, $50,000. Yeah, we'd go to Subway, treat each other to six-inch subs. I'm telling you, that was the deal. That was the jam.
Yeah, on Friday, on paydays, I can get like double meat fried. You know, it was great.
Yeah, I saw you guys on MTV Cribs then.
No, but it's true. I mean, if you're a young solo attorney, the overhead's not nearly as much. I mean, those cases, they add up. I mean, and you'd luck your way. If you work your ass off and you can kind of find a referral free $1 million case, you've made your year plus. Sienna, I got a question for you You know, a lot of young attorneys that are doing moot court, mock trial in law school, they want to do a lot of trials. How do I get experience trying cases right out of law school? How do I hit the ground running? Because you were trying cases pretty soon, weren't you?
Yeah. I'd say the city attorneys, the DA's office, it's a great way. Any government office will hire you and you get trial experience right off the bat. Also, I know there's the TAP program that for those civil attorneys that want to try cases but don't get to do it because they work at a big firm, they have agreements with the city where they can have an attorney for a month try work for the city attorney's office or the DA's office and try DUI cases and all that, so you get experience without actually leaving your firm.
My old boss promised me that, and I really wanted to do it. It never happened. Because you were working, like, I was like, when am I going to do my job? Because you actually have to go to work for them during the day.
Yeah.
And then, which meant I had to not sleep and work for my boss, and unfortunately, I was still pulling 16-hour days, and I just... It was really hard to find.
Let me tell you something about Sienna, by the way.
The first
time we ever worked together was on that in February, just a couple weeks ago, on that Cassian case, which is a pretty big one. We had never
pretty big.
Don't be modest. Tell us about
that. Don't be modest. No,
I want to make a different point.
Pretty big point.
Sienna and I had never worked together, and Sienna came on to help try the case, and we didn't have. I had just gotten back from a trip, and we didn't have a ton of time to get it ready. But with Sienna, there was this immediate and just a manifest competency that just came right through in the aww courtroom, and we were joking around. We were trading the opening statement and witnesses on the fly during the course of the trial, just because her competency was an extension of just who she was. So, and that's of course because she's had experience from day one through the DA trying cases, and that courtroom was just home floor for her. So you could tell just immediately immense competency. And I was very impressed.
Thanks, Tom.
Of course, you're welcome.
I paid him to say that, just kidding.
Yeah. You can cut me a check. Venmo me.
A couple more viewer questions. Big lawyer wants out. Big law lawyer wants out. Mm. Doing defense work, itching to try plaintiff's cases. Advice on how to transition from defense work, big defense firm. And how to get into the plaintiff's world.
Get out of the golden handcuffs.
Sounds perfect for Tom.
Yeah. This was directed towards you. This was submitted by Ryan Conger.
Well, with a glass of white wine in my hand in honor of Ryan. No,
Rosé.
Yeah. Well, there's two parts to the question. The first part is how functionally do I get out and get on the other track? And the way you do it is kind of a continuation of our theme. You maintain good contacts, maintain positive associations. Bob and I go way back, and we got licensed around the same time, and we always maintained that positive friendship, and every now and again he would float the idea, and I'd say, maybe yes, maybe no, then one day it was right. Another way to do it is just to hit the bricks. You know, if you make the decision to go, just get out there, and as we've been talking about with Jessica, you just get out there, go to things, see people, meet people, put your name out there, make it known that you're looking for an opportunity. And if you work hard enough at it, eventually, hopefully, an opportunity will arrive for you. And I think I've seen that actually happen with a couple people here at our firm who we've signed up who have left a large thing like that.
Sevi, get off your phone.
No.
What, do you have kids at home or something?
Yep.
Master's leaderboard.
Yeah. And then functionally the best way to make that transition is to build those competencies into when you go and say to the other side, say, hey, I'd like an opportunity. Do you have any opportunities for me? Okay, what do you do? What can you do? Well, I got all these great competencies. I have all these things that I've learned to do and all these different skill sets that I've developed, and I can show that in my work product and show that in any number of different ways.
Wow. Savvy, do you have anything to add? Were you paying attention?
The question was how to leave a big lawyer defense firm to a plaintiff's.
Sure, yeah.
You stick a note on the door and you bounce.
No, that question was more directed at Tom, so you don't have to answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a defense lawyer.
You light it on fire and you jump in your car.
Yeah, I'm a purebred.
If you could do, this is to the panel, if you could do your first year or first couple of years as an attorney over again.
Oh God, no!
What would you do differently? Is there things that you would try to learn that you didn't? You wish you would have opportunities that you passed on.
I would have stuck with the hamburger spokesman thing a little longer.
Yeah.
Floor's open.
That's a tough question. What would you do differently?
Someone's on the spot. Someone's got to go. It's dead air.
I guess I can. I know Brad approached me earlier on, and I was like, no, hesitant, whatever. But I think I'm glad I stayed. I got the experience that now makes me more of a valuable asset to the firm. So I have no complaints. No regrets.
I think I'm a nice guy and I was nice, but I think I would just be nicer. I think the best, one of my favorite things to do is just to get along. I think it's a huge asset.
How many cases have you settled on the golf course with a defense attorney? A dozen?
I can't say that was for confidential, but it goes a long way. And I think that's something I didn't realize. We kind of went back to, one of the common mistakes, being a new lawyer is being too aggressive. I was a little bit that way. And it's, you're coming out of law school.
Yeah, I am.
But in a good way, you have something to prove and you take things so personal. And I think you just not taking things so personal and be a little bit nicer is what I would do over again. And I think I would just, be 10 steps ahead of where I was within the first, couple of years.
I think it's important that you're not only nice to defense counsel, but you're nice to your staff and you're nice to the people you work with. It takes a team to make stuff happen. And as a new lawyer, you're going to make mistakes. And if you have a really good paralegal or law clerk or whoever who catches your mistakes and they keep that between you, I mean, that's based on relationships and you take care of them, they take care of you. So not that I didn't do this, but I think it's a really good tip that be nice to everyone.
100%. We only had one paralegal when I joined the Simon Law Group, and it was Ivan Montserrat. And he actually taught me how to practice law.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of people can relate out there in the sort of the legal
world. Right? Check your ego at the door. Like, just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean anything.
Appreciate your staff.
You know nothing.
Be mindful of their time and their efforts and, make sure you're not giving them shit to stay.
You said the S word.
We have two more left. Yeah, but and don't make them work on the weekends and late nights and stuff like that. Bob's passing notes because he doesn't have a microphone. You're on camera.
It was a Masters update.
Yeah.
That seersucker jacket and the pink tie. Looks like
Tiger Woods made a birdie.
One
thing I do want to say is I think I would have, and this is more so if you were solo or if you did, because at one point in time I was planning on, starting my own firm because, a lot of people coming out of law school don't have jobs. But I think I just would have been in an area, sort of what you were talking about earlier, where, in a collaborative effort with a lot of people doing this, similar things. And so you have a bunch of people to bounce ideas off of. So you're kind of not alone, whether it's a workspace or another, rent a suite from another law firm, different kinds of law.
So my last question is, can you be a solo? I know a lot of attorneys, they do defense work for a long time, like you did, Tom. And Ryan Conger, who works a lot with our firm, he was a defense attorney for a long time, and he opened up his own practice. Can you be a solo practitioner right out of law school? Litigating is very expensive. Is it possible? Can you share resources? Is there anything out there that you can do to kind of have a collaborative group?
Get really good malpractice insurance.
But if you have a group of people that you kind of do the same thing, you're not really a solo practitioner. You can have a group of people that kind of...
But it's like the blind leading the blind. I don't know. I was lucky and came out of law school and worked at a big firm, which was amazing because I was able to learn from giants and people who'd done it for so long before I felt that I was even competent to have my own firm. But for people who come right out of law school, I mean, it takes a lot of courage.
What about partnering up on cases? I mean, bringing...
Well, I think there's a difference, and we've been talking about this, the difference between being a solo practitioner and being alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've been talking about this. You can be a solo practitioner and not know a thing about what you're doing, but if you're alone, and have no people on the margins of your environment that you can go to and lean on, that's a problem. But if you have those people, I mean, yeah, you can make a go of it. I can't speak from personal experience, but it seems like that would be the way.
How'd you start your own firm, Jessica?
Let's see, I was a 7-year lawyer, was pregnant, and decided I didn't want to come back at 3 months or 6 weeks after maternity leave and go back to work. My husband at the time, he had started the firm a couple years before. And so when I was 7 months pregnant, I had a day. And I decided that I was like, it's it, I'm out. And joined up with him. There you go. The rest is history.
Awesome.
I guess song means we're out of time. We could probably spend another hour doing this. So maybe we'll have a part two of New Lawyers. I don't know. That was very, very...
Did we get through all your questions?
All of the questions that nobody helped me out with that Tom ridiculed me about, we got through. Yes.
What?
So thank you very much to Jessica for coming from San Diego.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a good time. A panel. Thank you very much. So in partnership with Trial Guys, our listeners will get a 15% off if you go to use JusticeTeam 19 as a code. You get 15% off your order at trialguys.com. I am Brandon Simon. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hopefully you listen to all our other podcasts. And remember, Sevi?
There's no sleep till justice.
Come on. Say it with a little more authority.
No sleep till justice. <Thank you. laughs>
Baby, can't you see? Justice is calling. A premise like you should. Have a warning. Dangerous, my client's falling. If you're not-